and sister.
Sounds like Norfolk to me.
Hey, we're back running, folks. Sorry for the breakaway there. We got Jared. We were just getting ready to show you something, and all of a sudden we got shut down. We don't know. Probably that devil out there trying to shut us down. Well, now we're back up live and streaming again. And so I was right in the process of right there trying to show you something again. We'll get Andrew in here in a minute. I promise that Planned Parenthood funding. Can you click on that, Jared, and try to? I know I got you doing a million things there, buddy. Again, you know, I've been screaming and hollering that that they only thing I want them to do, I want them to defund Planned Parenthood. And look what came up this morning on the Gateway Pundit. If you guys don't visit the Gateway Pundit in the morning, you're missing it, okay? The Gateway Pundit. Look at this. May 17th, that would be yesterday. President Trump's administration will announce its plans to cut funding to Planned Parenthood on Friday. That's today. And you know, he waited and waited and waited for Paul Ryan and all those rhinos to do what they wanted to do. And he's now figured a way to go around it. So isn't this all good? Did you guys see this? Did you see that Planned Parenthood sent out a statement when Trump called MS-13 animals? Planned Parenthood sent out a tweet or something like that, said that all humans deserve respect. Planned Parenthood. I mean, you can't. It is unbelievable, isn't it? So well, Trump, we're going to find out today.
Except for the human beings you can make money from by selling their body parts, of course.
There you go, brother. There you go. It's like AutoZone here, right? So I want to show you that. I got another clip. I'm not going to work. Oh, I got to show this, Andrew, because this one really. See, I could do a show today just on a couple things I have, but I want you guys to understand what's going on, because this really impacts the UK or Great Britain or England or whatever that country is called over there. It really does impact it. They have a king and a queen over there still, if you can believe that. And look at this. Jared, click on birth rate. I've been warning y'all. Been warning y'all. Nobody's been paying attention. Been warning. Look at this. Birth plunged to record low in the United States. This came out 22 hours ago. I'm not going to take you down and go through all the statistics. I'm not going to show you all of them, but Jared, scroll down there just a little bit so we can point out maybe a couple of things. It's the low, that right there it is. Look at that. My goodness. This marks the lowest fertility rate since 1978. Meanwhile, the U.S. birth rate plunged to a 30-year low. 77,000 fewer babies were born in the U.S. last year. It's a 2% drop in 1 year. The 3.85 million births in 2017 were the fewest since 1987. Can I tell you what one of the real keys of this is? Money, taxation, too much money. People can't afford to have babies. It's all part of the plan of the New World Order. That's why I got my tinfoil hat on. I don't want to take any more Andrew's time. I just had to get a couple things out on the table. Andrew Draper is over across the pond, and he contacted me by email and said, hey, would you be willing to do an interview? I'm over here in the UK, and, you know, me being the international kind of guy that I am, said, sure I would. And I was a little bit leery because I'm thinking, UK, Christianity, somebody set me up here. There certainly aren't any Christians in the UK, not real ones, right? There can't be any real ones. So I agreed to do the interview with Andrew, and he has a website that's called the redpill.report. The redpill.report. And I found out, hey, this guy's one of us. This guy, Andrew Draper, is one of us. So Andrew, come on in. I'm gonna give you an international audience today. Thanks for being with us, Andrew. Tell us your story, buddy. How'd you?
Well, thank you, Andrew. Coach.
What the heck's going on over there? And before you get into it, Andrew, could you help me? Because my wife asked me this morning. What's the difference between the UK and Great Britain? What's the difference between the UK and England? What the heck is the UK? What is that? What is the
UK? It's a lot easier to write UK than it is Great Britain when you're putting notes down.
We got it up there on the screen, Andrew. So take us through that real quick for those of us who live here in the cornfields and outside of Columbus, Ohio.
Great Britain, I guess it's a little bit less great than it is because you used to have Brittany in France was part of Britain too. It's the Britons are the people of Great Britain. But the United Kingdom came about when England, Scotland and Wales joined together and became one nation instead of three separate nations. We started off a long time ago, 1,000 years ago, we had lots of little kingdoms. And we became England, Scotland, and Wales. And then when those came together, you know, there were battles, and we joined up, and, you know, and places like Wessex joined with, you know, other places and so on. But eventually we became the United Kingdom. But we're also known as the Britons because we, you know, that's the people who lived here. So Great Britain is the bigger area of Britain, which would have included at one point a little bit of France. But it's England, Scotland, and Wales, and Northern Ireland.
That's the United Kingdom? England, Scotland, Wales. So as Andrew explained it to me, with the United Kingdom, if you were to take, go to the West Coast, and you would run into Ireland, Northern Ireland. Is that the way you explain it, Andrew?
And up? You have to get wet a bit. That's the Welsh who could swim went across. when the Romans came in, what we sometimes say is that when the Romans came in, the English, you know, they fled north and they fled west. And those who could swim went over to Northern Ireland, is what we sometimes joke about. The Welsh or the Irish who couldn't swim and get away from the Romans who were invading. But yeah, you've got to cross the Irish Sea. There you've got Ireland and a little bit of that Northern Ireland. The top right hand corner is still part of Britain. And much debate now because if we leave Europe, and God willing, I hope we will. You're going to have Ireland that's still in Europe and Northern Ireland that will no longer be in Europe. And, you know, what do we do with the border there? At the moment, we have open borders and, you know, there's no security.
No, that works. That's right.
Like Mexico.
And so Scotland's up there then. You got Scotland up the north.
Scotland is where you'd have Canada, yes. Although the Canadians are quite British and very polite, but the Scottish are perhaps the more... robust are the Britons. Wow. they wear skirts and eat porridge oats.
So Andrew, real quickly then, if I'm part of the United Kingdom, I am, give me the countries.
England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland.
There you go. That's the United. Now, most of you didn't have the courage to ask him that. England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. That's the United Kingdom.
If when you're involved in sports and so on, of course, if someone loses, as far as I'm concerned, they're Scottish, perhaps. But if they win, they're British.
I got you. So we really aren't confused. We are confused, but we're confused with the words for a reason, I guess, Andrew, is what you're saying, too. So Andrew, come on, man. What the heck? This whole thing we call Christianity or that we got over here in the good old U.S. of A., it came from y'all. And so for me across the pond, watching y'all over there, man, oh, man, you guys made a left turn somewhere, Andrew. What the heck happened over there? Because you made the left turn, and then being part of that same boat, we went left. We're a little bit behind you. We're in the stern. You guys are in the bow. We're in the back of the boat. We're turning too. Is it all your fault over there, Andrew? What happened?
I think that the fault is that, God doesn't have grandchildren. And if you don't evangelize your children, then you know, the church is going to decline, as it were. And as far as I can see, all churches they become organizations and then they tend to error. So we have... let's leave the Roman Catholic Church out of it, but we had a division, and we had the Church of England came out of Rome and was on the whole a Protestant, evangelical, not Mary-worshipping, Bible-believing church. We had the Great Bible, as we call it, before the King James Bible, the Great Bible put into churches so that people could read the Bible in English. They were changed into the church so people couldn't steal them, and everybody could go to their village and find a copy of the Bible to read. But as you know, time goes on, error creeps in, and so they split off, and you get the Methodists come out and the Baptists come out, and then now the Methodists and the Baptists are, on the whole, they're not evangelical, they don't hold to scripture. A few years ago I went to the Baptist convention here in England, and I went to every one of our universities, our Bible colleges, and asked all of them, what do they teach for Genesis 1 to 11? And every one of them teach evolution until something better comes along.
Mm.
So I thought something better came along 2,000 years ago. Well, 6,000 years ago, we got Genesis. But
and so then Darwinism crept in, huh? And England swallowed.
Came in, is it 150 years ago now? Darwin came in, and I think that what you had was the those who they thought too much. The intellectuals within the church embraced Darwin, and we have things like the gap theory and long ages and theistic evolution. So God guides evolution, which are all completely unbiblical, of course. And that mm-hmm. sets rot in the church. Once you have that coming in, well, the Bible becomes unbelievable. If God can lie in Genesis, well, he could be, you know, lying in about the miracles. And so we have Spurgeon, you know, was it nearly 100 years ago, I guess, Spurgeon stood against this sort of decline of biblical truth. And it was coming in, what was coming in then? Higher criticism, where we used our intellect to look at the Bible. Well, of course, miracles don't happen, so all the miracles must be untrue or allegorical, or, you know, so we apply our intellect to the Bible and demystify. We teach allegories from it now, and so that's really where the church is. The church has declined desperately over here. Probably nearly 10 years ago, I was talking with someone who did some statistical research into the church in England, and over half the churches in England had no one under retirement age in them anymore.
Wow, my. So, Andrew, just curious, over here they've sold us the lie of the separation between the church and have removed all Christian values out of our schools. What's the standard in the UK? Is Christianity still considered part of the education in the UK?
Legally, they have to have an act of worship in our schools, but they don't. They have acts of sort of thought for the day, as it were. And in fact, our radio program, the main news program, has a thought for the day on it. But it's never evangelical. It's never biblical. Our schools are very multi-ethnic. If you were in London and you looked at a school, there may be 27 countries or something represented in your school. And I was in Birmingham, and the school that was the school catchment area for my children, it was near our house, had over 600, and two were white Western. The rest were all Islam. I mean, I don't know what it's like now. It must be worse now. But they were all Islamic. They were all Muslims.
But you do not have a separation between the church and state. In other words, if pinned down with a gun to the head, the leaders in Great Britain would say, yes, Christianity is the religion of our schools. Would it be safe to say that, Andrew?
Certainly they would say that we're a Christian nation. But I don't think anymore they would say that Christianity is the religion of our schools.
Okay.
The religion of our schools is humanism.
Yes, we'll see the same thing here. We don't even identify as a Christian nation anyway. In fact, our president, the president who came before this one, the one who came from Indonesia, you know,
I remember the one, the white president who had a one black parent.
that guy. He said that we're no longer a Christian nation. So he just admitted what we already see. But the end result of it is, help me out here, Andrew, and then I'm going to let some guys jump in here because I'm sure they have questions too. Is a Muslim mayor in London, huh?
Well, not just in London, but other places too, yes. Of course, he's a very nice man. And if you were to meet him for a cup of tea, he'd be very gentlemanly. But underneath, Islam requires that you have your first commitment is to Islam. Islamic rule always trumps democracy.
Trump.
Because any rules of man are not acceptable in Islam. The only rule acceptable is God's law.
So if the mayor of London says he is not Brit first, he's lying then. He's not a Muslim then.
Well, either he's a bad Muslim, as in he doesn't follow Islam closely. Or he has to put his loyalty first to Islam. because that's what Islam requires.
Andrew Draper, the Red Pill Dot Report. Andrew, give us a little bit of background. And I'm gonna know again. I'm gonna let these guys jump in and ask you questions here in a second. Andrew, you must be like a dinosaur. Do you guys believe in dinosaurs over there? I mean, I don't know if you do. Maybe I'm overstepping my bounds here. But you're certainly some type of.
Do you know St. George and the Dragon?
Yeah.
It was a dinosaur.
Okay.
What's the animal that represents whales? Do you know?
No, I don't.
It's a dragon.
A whale.
That's a whale. A dinosaur. No.
Why is it? No way. Should be a whale. So Andrew, what happened, man? You were a dinosaur. How are you received in the UK now that I know what to say? How are you received? Are you alone? Do you feel as alone as some of us feel here, Andrew?
In the last 20 years, maybe a bit more, 25 years, we've either left or been excommunicated from about 17 churches.
You're one of us, huh?
You see the book. If you believe this book, you're not acceptable. And so you don't even have to open your mouth, but they know. They know that you... I mean, I sometimes describe this. I'm just too stupid to be a heretic. Because if the Bible says it, I believe it. I don't think well enough to be a heretic. You know, I can't invent new theologies. If the Bible says it, that's good enough for me. I reckon God probably knows better than we do. Let's go with what he says.
So, you know, Andrew, the scriptures talk about having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof from such men turn away. So the churches in England, are there still churches on every corner, Andrew? What's the religious atmosphere in the UK? Hey, froze up on us there. Andrew, if you're listening, you may have to, what does he have to do, Jared? Rejoin, you think? Yeah. There you are. There you're back. There you're back, Andrew. You froze up on us for a minute there, buddy. So I ask you that question, Andrew. Are there churches on every corner?
There are churches in every village. Driving through England is glorious because you look over here and through the woods you see a spire sticking up and a tower, and you know, on a Sunday afternoon you'll hear church bells ring. But there's, in most churches, there is only a church, and in many of them, one vicar with perhaps 17 churches to pastor.
My goodness. Hey Jared?
That's not saying there are. There are even one or two churches. They have a couple of thousand people. So for you, that's a local sort of chapel, I guess.
Amen. Hey, Andrew, Jared, he's breaking up for me. Is everybody else hearing him okay?
Yes.
Hey, hit, what does he hit? F5? You are 2,000 miles away, Andrew. So maybe you need just to hit F5 or refresh your computer and then maybe get a better connection, because you're freezing up. You know,
I've just
tried
reconnecting now. Is that any better?
That's a lot better. Yes, sir. That's a lot better. Because we're trying to get a real feel, a real flavor for what I'm telling you. You have lived through what we are getting ready, what we are in the midst of living through. What would be your advice, Andrew, to those of us who are still Bible believers and seeing our culture disintegrating, seeing our churches being taken over? What would be your advice, looking back over your shoulder 20 years? Let's say we're 20 years behind you. What advice would you give us, Andrew?
Well, I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't have been expelled from 17 churches. The only thing I know is that when there's heresy, you need to stand against it, get thrown out, and find another church where there's not heresy. You know, rot is very hard. We've had some revivals in our land, but until the church cries out to God or God moves in revival, I don't know what you're supposed to do. Our nation has turned away from God, but that's not a problem because we're supposed to be, hang on a minute, salt and light.
Yes, sir.
Does that sort of ring a bell here somewhere? But if the church is not salty, the nation will rot.
And that's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. Andrew, my buddy Roger's in here. Roger and I had a conversation the other day. Hey, Andrew, he's an attorney. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt here, okay? Are you in there, Roger? I'm sure you are. Yeah, there you are. Roger said to me the other day in a conversation we had, and I want you to think about this from a UK perspective, Andrew. Roger's said, asked me, says, Coach, don't you believe that maybe it's time to do most of our work outside the church? Is the church beyond help?
I've lost you.
There you are. Is the church beyond help, Andrew? Should most of our work that we're doing today be done outside of the church? We lost him again.
I lost you again, Coach. Is it time for us to do most of our work outside the church?
Yes. Are we wasting our time trying to evangelize within the church? Should we be turning our focus outside?
Well, there aren't many churches do evangelism. Let's say that. I run an evangelism training course called Furnished, which basically is Way of the Master material.
Uh-huh.
I put a little bit more on that because I find that Ray Comfort is very confident, like yourself. He'll just go out on the streets and act like a rhinoceros, you know, boldly telling people the gospel. So I put in at the beginning of that some teaching on how to, from being very timid, how do you actually open a conversation? So I've got this teaching available, and almost exclusively Black Pentecostal churches have asked me to teach them. Almost no other church.
Black Pentecostals.
Black Pentecostals are quite lively here, particularly from with an African background, but they tend to be
charismaniacs.
Yes, they're not very theologically rooted.
Yep. Right. Right. One
of the problems I think we had, have you heard of the Welsh Revival?
Yes, sir.
We had a massive revival in Wales that particularly was within the Wesleyan chapels of Wales. But we sometimes speak of it as being a singing revival. They worshipped God powerfully. They loved God. Things were transformed. You know, the pit ponies wouldn't do their work because the coal miners wouldn't swear at them anymore. But it didn't get down to the next generation.
Generational thinking, that's right.
Yeah, they didn't teach theology sufficient for roots to get into the churches. And so now they're carpet warehouses and furnishing stores and private houses where there were Wesleyan chapels.
And Islam is sweeping across the UK?
I live in a village with 8 houses. It's a little overcrowded for me. But on a Saturday afternoon, I hear Islamic music playing, and outside the front of our house, there are people playing in I don't mean to be derogatory, but sort of male dressing gowns, male dresses, and a, you know, skull cap, and dressed up as you know, in Muslim clothes, 6-year-olds, and even here in this little village out in the middle of nowhere.
My goodness, my goodness. Let me open it up here. Somebody want to jump in here? By the way, Andrew, as we're opening it up here, at your website, theredpill.report, if someone was going to go spend 5 minutes on that report, you have a busy website. It's a lot of good stuff there. Where would you direct them to go first, Andrew?
Well, go to the podcast and sign up for the podcast, which comes out once a week. Probably the best place, especially as I got this guy called Coach Dave Dobermeyer on there in the near future.
Yeah. David Arthur is part of our crew. He's going to be in there as well.
He's already up. I put him up yesterday as a special report. What I used to do was look at the news and then have an interview at the end. But people were saying that was a bit of a long. It was about 2 hours or so long. So what we're doing now is, I'm doing the news review, and I'm separately putting in the interviews so that people can get straight to the interview if they want to, or they can come directly for the news report. So
how's free speech there, Andrew? Conservatives, Christians in America, are really getting censored and pushed back. What's the status there in the UK?
Legally, we have good protection for free speech. We do have hate laws, and the problem with the hate laws we have is that just someone needs to feel offended. You don't need to have actually said anything offensive. They only need to feel offended, and they can right. they can try prosecuting you for it. We've not had many successes. We regularly now have street preachers arrested for hate crimes. We've had none prosecuted and found guilty. But if you get arrested and you get held in police jail for 20 hours, you know, that's still pretty intimidating.
Yeah, it's coming. That's coming. Oh, that's where we're living it. Let me open it up. Somebody jump in here with a question for Andrew.
Hey, Andrew. This is Glenn. Hey, I just wanted to ask you two questions. Question one, is your evangelism material available through your website, redpill.report? And second, is it?
Well, I don't really have evangelism material. I've got a DVD set of what I teach, but it's not brilliantly filmed. I can make it available to someone if they contact me through the Red Pill Report.
Okay.
I used to have it on another website called Bible-Matters.com, but that's sort of fallen into disrepair for a while because I work full time. I just do this in my spare time, and I've got a big family too, so it's a job to keep the one website and podcast going, let alone the other.
Okay. Hey, Andrew, share that with me. Share it with our crowd. You had two children and thought that's enough. Tell that story, Andrew. Well, I think this is fascinating.
Falling birth rates. I don't know what you mean, really. when we got married, we both loved the Lord, and our stupid desire was, well, if we can have two children quickly, one of each, you know, a pink one and a blue one, then what we can do is get their, you know, them educated and sorted out, and then we can serve the Lord for the rest of our lives. And about 4 years after we'd had our first two children, and we were preventing the Lord giving us any more, I was sat at our dining room table, and the Lord said to me, "There are olive trees I wanted to plant at your table, but you've denied me the opportunity." And so we scratched our head a bit, and I looked in the Bible, and it says, God opens the womb, God closes the womb. Who am I to be in God's place to give you children? Children are a blessing of the Lord. And so we said, look, this is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God opens the womb and God closes the womb and that children are a blessing from the Lord. And so we stopping him giving us children. And we now have four daughters and seven sons.
what a story. Come on in.
Hey, Andrew.
This is Larry from South Carolina. South Carolina. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you're right there on the ground in Great Britain, England, whatever it is.
Okay.
And I've traveled all over there, so I should know, but I really don't. Is it too late for your country to throw off the influence of Islam in your country?
No. Because God is great. Not Allah Akbar, but God is great, and God can save the Muslim.
Okay, now, is it too late for anybody?
I don't know whether this is prophetic or not. I suspect not. But I certainly have dreamt of huge areas of Britain with mass rallies of, I don't know quite how you put this, but Islamic bottoms in the air, men bowing down, but they were worshipping Jesus. So I believe there could be revival among Islam. But if apart from God moving, yes, we are an Islamic nation.
Yeah, apart from God and miraculous intervention of God, your country has gone to Islam, right?
Let's step back a little bit. In, I think, just about 10 years' time, Brussels will be a majority Muslim country, a city. So Brussels, you know, is going to be possibly one of the first places to fall, but we're not far behind. I think we've probably got something like 30 years left, maybe a bit more, but they have a lot of children and we have almost none. There's a lot of Islamic immigration and almost no Christian immigration.
Yeah. So Roger, come on in, Roger.
Any sort of positive influence in your culture, any positive input from Islam into your culture?
Is there any positive input?
Yeah. Yes. You know, is any part of Islam being good for you guys?
Well, they work, and they, you know, some of them, as a community, in many ways, they're very admirable. They look after their own, they work, they make money, and they put that into supporting their community. But that's only towards the undermining of our nation.
Two can't walk together unless they agree. That's right.
There are real problems. There's a real problem with Islamic child abuse. And I'm sure we're not allowed to say that over here in England, but never mind, I've said it. The police won't touch many of the child grooming gangs we have here in England because they're afraid of being called racist. Now, Islam isn't a race, but nevertheless, because the people are of a non-British ethnic background, the police are very, very hands-off with regard to dealing with massive child abuse rape gangs.
And politically correct.
Go ahead, Roger.
I've got a quick question for Andrew. And first of all, Andrew, I want to say that you've got a really weird accent, but I'll get past that. Andrew, on the demographics, I think it would be fair to say from the demographics, Great Britain is lost because of babies not being born by traditional Great Britain. So you would agree with that. Here's my question, and it's very serious, but it may not come across seriously. What happens when the country's majority of Muslims get control of Britain's nuclear arsenal? And I ask that very seriously, because politically they're going to get control of Great Britain if they don't have it already, which means they will get control of Britain's nuclear arsenal. What happens then?
Well, the first thing I would say is they don't need a majority. I believe somewhere between 20 and 30% can take a nation. Mm. So it doesn't need them to be 51% of the nation before they can take control of the government. And I think we are utterly complacent to this. And we dare not say politically, and no one dare say in Britain, what we fear or what could happen. I don't know what will happen. I mean, if I was the last man in the room, I'd fire them off into the sea or something. I don't know. But they will take control of it unless God does something.
See, they are using our Christian liberties to undermine Christianity.
Come here because allegedly they're fleeing persecution and trouble and so on, but they want to bring the very thing they flee here.
Right, that's exactly right. Go ahead.
Yeah, that kind of leads in with my question is the difference that we're seeing is we're having the influx as well. But our society is fully armed, whereas for years, they have disarmed the UK people, especially around London, to a point that they have to go into the police department to borrow their own weapons. And, I travel there a lot. How do you see that playing out with the type of violence?
That's a great question, Mark.
Well, of course, we've got more gun crime now than New York. So, we're doing okay with our guns. we probably have more armed people than you think over here. Every farmer has a shotgun and so on. But it's going to be a problem because, we are finding in Europe huge caches of military weapons that are being brought in from outside Europe. And we're finding them occasionally. But I suspect that these are being stored and stashed away for the great jihad day that I think will come. I think one day the word will go out through, I don't know, social media or somewhere, rise up and take the country. It won't come yet. They want a few more numbers yet. But, I believe they will seek to take the country. That is what Islam has always done.
And that's exactly kind of a picture of the future that a lot of people don't realize. And we have jihad cells near every major city. There's 22 around the U.S. and one's within 15 miles of Manhattan. So we allow it because they form businesses. They form LLCs, and then they train on these compounds. And it's all legal, according to our government. But now you got areas of Sharia law being implemented. Our banking system is being set up for Sharia policies. So I think it's all just we're complacent, again, just like you're describing. You know, we keep our head in the sand and hope it'll go away, but it's just becoming more invasive.
Andrew, Coach, what?
I don't know much about the, you know, that cowardly game, American football, compared with rugby. But what we sometimes see in the training is that there are a bunch of men with plastic shoulders pushing against like a sledge. I don't know what that's called.
Sled.
It's called a sled, okay. Well, I think we're a bit like that. They both Islam and liberalism push and we go back a bit, and they push and we go back a bit. We never advance. We never get the sled going the other way.
That's a great picture. That's right. We're always on defense, aren't we, Andrew? Always trying to hang on to the little bit that we have, just the crumbs off the table. If we can just maintain the crumbs off the table, that's really become the philosophy of American Christianity for sure. And certainly with what you're dealing with. Andrew, explain this to us real quick. Those of us across the pond, we got about 20 minutes left here, Andrew. Explain don't go into a dissertation here, brother. What's Brexit? What's that whole thing? What's that all about?
I'm glad you say. I mean, we went in, I don't know, was it 40-odd years ago now, to what was called the EEC, the European Economic Community, which was like a buying club and a selling club. Let's all trade with each other without ripping each other off with tariffs. But behind that, they had put in, and we know now from papers that have been released, that they never intended that. They always intended that it would become a government. And very soon, instead of being the EEC, it became the European Union. And now we have, I mean, I don't know whether someone got the page up with the Why We Must Leave Europe page on it. You've got the picture on that. I don't know whether we can get that on screen.
Yeah, he can get it up there for you.
And what we have there, half that picture is the European Parliament building, and the other half is a picture from the 1563 by someone I can't pronounce, but I'm going to call him Peter Bruegel, which is a picture of the Tower of Babel. And you can see that the one is made to look like the other. In fact, the EU building is especially designed to look unfinished, to represent the unfinished work of bringing a world government in. And, you know, that's sort of what Europe has been planning all along, is that they're one of the stages of bringing our countries under submission of one government. And I think it's, you know, the most desperately important thing I think that we need to do before we try and take back our country from Islam or from anything else is we need to get out from underneath this unelected, although they'll tell you there's a parliament that we elect, we only elect people who can say yes or yes. They can't say no to anything that is put forward to them from the unelected level of the European Parliament. There's a little bit lower down on the picture, there's a little poster there of the same thing, and it says Europe, many tongues, one voice. Just absolutely saying, you know, we are what was taken apart by God, we are going to put back together again. We are going to form a mighty, you know, a one world government that God stood against. And I think nations are very important. You imagine if the whole world had taken up Nazism. How would that have been for those who were not among the favored races? But because we were in nations, yet Nazism took hold in Germany, and it spread a little bit to some of the other nations. But some of France and England and some people from America came over, and we were able to contain that and defeat it. And the same with other things that are going on. North Korea were able to stand against with the South. China is unable to influence the whole. But if we had a one world government, even if we just had a European government, you have a very powerful group that it would be very hard for anybody to contain. And I think God put us in nations for a reason, so that we couldn't. you know, stand against the right to any real degree of power.
Hey, Andrew, what's the status of Brexit? It seems like it's been 2 years since the people of UK voted for it, but it seems to have stalled. Where do you stand now?
We are. I ought to be able to tell you the exact countdown to it. I ought to put it up on my website. I've got it ticking away, but not on the website yet. We are something like 10 months or 11 months away from Brexit, and as far as we know, Brexit will happen. But there are a group of people, Tony Blair. And a few other, particularly from the Labour Party or former Labour Party officials, who are globalists, who are pushing hard. Tony Blair started up an organisation funded by George Soros, I think. surprise, surprise. And there's a lot of campaigning against it, but it appears, by the grace of God, we will Brexit.
So, Andrew, listen. I'm a teacher by trade, and I understand that we're not all in the same place. In the classroom, you got 30 kids, and some are on page 2, and others are on page 13. So, Andrew, for those people who are in the southern part of the United States who are still on page 2, just kidding, Christina, what is Brexit? What does that even mean?
Okay.
What does that even mean?
Okay, we joined the EEC, it became the European Union. We are now part of this group of 28 countries that are becoming, their motto is ever closer union. And they're beginning to want to form a European army. They want to, some of them now have the euro, one currency. But it's not really working very well. There's lots of real struggles with it. Greece and so on are really struggling with their economy because it's being destroyed by being linked to such a big economy as Germany and not being able to deal with their own finances. But Britain has voted to leave.
So you've lost your autonomy, and you're saying we're going to exit this partnership. That's Brexit.
We want our autonomy back. We want our lawmaking powers back. And at the moment, on the whole, we can make laws about minor things, but major things, all the law comes from Brussels.
And the new world order are the one, they are for that, right? They do not want Brexit. They do not want you guys to be independent. They do not want you to take your sovereignty back. So it's the battle, it's the deep state. I guess there's even a deep state over in the UK, is there not, Andrew?
Probably a bit deeper here. I expect we have the roots. I expect we have the roots in possibly in our royal family. Let's see. Look at the wedding and see what we see.
That's why I got my tinfoil hat on today, Andrew.
Absolutely.
But you know what? More and more people are beginning to see and beginning to understand. Somebody come on in here. You're with Andrew Draper, the Red Pill dot report.
Well, Andrew, we experienced, we had a fun little civil war when the states wanted to separate. So is there going to be a fun little civil war in Europe?
We've got nuclear weapons. that may save us.
It'll be a shorter fight anyway, won't it, Andrew?
I don't think we're going to have to fight. I think we're going to have to fight on our knees, and we're going to have to, What we did, we've gone over there and said, what will you let us have? How can we trade with you? What we should have done, because we are the fifth largest economy in the world, we should have left Brussels, set up a trestle table in Westminster and said, anybody from Europe who wants to trade with us still after Brexit, come and tell us what you're going to offer us. Because they want to sell us their cheese, their wine, their cars. You know, they still want to trade with us. They can't afford not to. But
right.
We, at the moment, being very much the sort of the one who's crawling on their knees saying, please let us still trade with you.
So, Andrew, Trumpism in America, Make America Great, it's really kind of a stepchild, if you would, of the Brexit movement. Would you agree with that, Donald Trump, the idea, Make America Great Again, let's get away from all the entanglements, let's do our own thing, is really the same spirit that you guys have have been poking its head up recently over in across the pond.
I think that's true, but I don't think it's necessarily the stepchild, as it were, of Brexit. I think both Brexit and Trumpism are a stepchild of where we are in the cycles. Rick Wiles is a great one for talking about cycles, but we have war cycles. The world, we're actually in the war cycle at the moment, when we are likely to see a big war start. But we're also in the sort of rebellion area, where we had the French Revolution, the American Revolution, and we're sort of ripe for that sort of thing happening now to rebel against the status quo, and we're seeing that in Trumpism, and we're seeing it in Brexit, and there are movements across Europe for Grexit or Frexit, or some of them it's not so easy to make an exit word up for, but other countries are saying, well, we don't want this either, really.
Well, so the French Revolution and what we came to be known as the Revolutionary War here in the United States, that war is really going on now all across the globe, but we just haven't identified it as a revolutionary war. It's only when we get beyond this period of time in which we're living, when we get 50 years removed, we're going to look back and we're going to call this something, some type of revolution, some type of skirmish. There's going to be a name for it. We're right in the middle of it right now. We don't even know we're in a war.
Yes, and of course it's different, because this war is fought in many ways on Facebook and Twitter, and podcasts and so on. And we're not at the moment, and please God, may we not be in the place where we're actually using, you know, musket balls and killing each other. But there's very much, you know, this battle going on. I guess before the American Civil War, there was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in pamphlets and so on. But you didn't have Facebook, but there must have been a stirring underneath. And we have a huge stirring now of you've got sort of Antifa and Black Lives Matter and the liberal movement and the LGBT versus conservatives. And fortunately, you've got a lot of conservatism over in America. Over here, I mean, the reason I run the Red Pill Report is not because I want to be a host of a show, but because I looked for, I mean, I've been listening to True News with Rick Wiles for probably more than a decade. And I found the Hagman Report and I've been listening to them, and they've gone to 5 hours now. How do you keep up with that?
And that's something.
But and you've got so much of that. You've got InfoWars. You've got this guy, Coach Dave Dobermeyer, and this, you know, the Caravan to Midnight. And I thought there must be something in Britain. And I've looked for, you know, about 8 years. And eventually I thought, well, could this be someone better do it? And so
working with
Prophazine and Ray Gaino, we chatted a bit and we came up with the name, and a year ago, just over a year and a half ago now, we launched, and we're now, you know, doing it once. We've got the website running more regularly and the podcast once a week. But I just wish we could put more to it, because once a week is not really enough with the way things move.
So Andrew, are you kind of rarity? There are not many guys in the UK doing what you're doing?
I don't know any. You know, I go to a reasonably good church, but I don't know anybody there who knows really anything about things like, you know, the Trump Russia dossier. And have you heard over there about the Skripals and the,
nope,
the poisoning? You haven't heard about the Skripals. There was a Russian spy poisoned in England. You must know something about it, because you expelled about 100 Russian diplomats about a month ago. Well, we find out that this guy, far from being a retired Russian spy who's just an innocent old man, he's connected with Christopher Steele and the Trump Russia dossier, you know. And so
Andrew, are you ready for this?
I don't know anybody here who knows that.
5 minutes. We got about 5 minutes left, Andrew. Right about this one, brother. I'm going to bore in here a second. That's why I'm getting close. Andrew, the rumor is the Pope's going to retire. So, Andrew, we're going to have three popes. We got old Benedict. He's still hanging around. We got this other commie. They say he's going to resign. And then we're going to get another one. How do you see the Catholic Church? How do you see them playing a part in this whole thing that's gone on?
Well, I mean, the Catholic Church, when it was better, was poor. The idea that you need to pray to Mary because Jesus' death was insufficient, I find blasphemous. But there appear to be some people who appear to love the Lord who are in the Catholic Church. But when you now start saying, well, we'll baptize people from other planets, those people will come and teach us more about God than we know. When you start saying there is no hell, you know, you're not the church. It's just not the church.
I had lunch yesterday. I had lunch yesterday with a good old Catholic boy. Good one. Good old Catholic boy. And I said to him, what's going on? He says, Coach, it's very simple. Social gospel. He said, that's all the Catholic Church is now. Mm. Social gospel. And, you know, I thought there was a lot of truth in that, Andrew. And now we hear the current Pope, the soon to be retired Pope, saying what? Communism, basically, right?
Yes.
The Catholic Church is actually promoting communism now.
There's only one truth, and the truth is Jesus. The whole Catholic religion is a distraction from the truth, bottom line.
Amen. Yes. I think I came out of that, by the way. I'm one. I is one. So
Amen.
I understand it. I understand it well. And this is not to bash anything. It's other than to try to wake up those people who desperately love the Lord. They just don't know him. Would you guys agree with that? A lot of Catholics desperately love Jesus, but they don't know him. They don't really know him.
Amen.
And they, you know, I went a little while ago when I was courting my wife, they were doing some building work at her church. And so they were borrowing the local Catholic church. And I forgot my Bible one day. And I went into the church and I said to one of the attendants there who was welcoming us, could I borrow a Bible? And he looked blank and said, I don't think we have any.
Unbelievable.
Hey, Andrew. Andrew.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, is abortion legal in England, UK, in your area? It is.
David Steele bought abortion in about the same time that you did. I don't know who was first. I think we might have been before you. But yes, tragically, we have a lot of abortion over here, and a lot of it hidden because a lot of it is done under the NHS, so it's done in hospital wards. In fact, when my wife was in hospital struggling with a pregnancy at one point, there were, you know, half the ward were people in there wanting to get rid of their baby.
Unbelievable.
We do have abortion clinics too, not many, but a lot of it's done sort of hidden within our hospitals.
Andrew, we got 2 minutes left. What's the takeaway, brother?
Well, the takeaway is I just found 10 months, 7 days, 10 hours and 56 minutes till Brexit. So the takeaway is if God doesn't move to save Britain, we will need you. Well, we're lost. But what we need missionaries to come over and wake us up. We need to red pill the church.
We need to red pill the church. Unbelievable. Your website, Andrew, theredpill.report. And it's folks, this is conservatism across the pond. No, let me take that back. It's Christianity across the pond. And those of us who are in America, even though the world is so small that we can all get on this podcast, we can get on this, we can talk to each other instantly across miles and miles and miles. We really don't know a whole lot about what's going on over there. And the truth would be told, that is the birthplace of the United States, right? Our Christianity has come from the UK. We've come out from under that into the liberty of the United States of America. And what happens over there should matter to us greatly.
The British Empire was responsible in many ways. I mean, under God, obviously, but was responsible in many ways for Christianizing the world. Where you've got a Christian nation in Africa, it was because Britain went there possibly for their gold or their whatever, but the missionaries went with them. Like the Pax Romana allowed the gospel to spread out through the Roman world, the British Empire, you know, took the gospel to the world. And, you know, praise God for that. But now the roots are rotting and we need to, you know, have, you know, fresh
transport. We need to plant some new trees over there, folks. We need to plant some new trees. A view of Christianity from across the pond with Andrew Draper, the redpill.report. God bless you, Andrew. Thanks for being with us.
And if any of your if any of your people listening, you know, in your guests there want to appear on my show, just, you know, email me, andrew@theredpill.report.
Andrew, Mark Trump, there you go. Mark Trump, artificial intelligence, there's your next guest, Andrew. I'll make that connection for you. We got a lot of great resources. Andrew, we're going to sign off. You hang in here with us.
God bless you, folks,
listen, same God, same world. Jesus is still the answer, no matter where you go. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.